Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good Monday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on June 16th, 2025, just after 2 o'clock. We are live from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard, and we'll be with you until 6:15 tonight on The Fan. Got a great show planned for you. Jordan Ta'amu, quarterback of the UFL champion DC Defenders, who won the title on Saturday night. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock in 3 hours. Spread the word. And Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com stops by at 6 to get us ready for the Nats and the Rockies, a matchup of the two teams who have lost the most games in Major League Baseball over the last 5 seasons. We'll be talking a lot about the Nats because they are free-falling. We'll get to them in just a minute, Danny. But to kick things off here, nice little sports weekend outside of baseball in D.C.
Plenty of business happened. Oklahoma City got themselves even. Florida got themselves an advantage. And you mentioned it. DC Defenders won a championship. That's pretty cool.
They hung 58 points Michigan, a better team than them all regular season, and the favorite to win the title. They scored almost 60, which in the UFL does not really happen. I mean, that was the highest point total in league history, obviously in league postseason history. 58-34, they whooped Michigan as the underdog in that championship game. And it was kind of a cool thing. Jordan Ta'amu, Danny, who was expected to win league MVP, he came in studio with us a couple of weeks ago. He did not win MVP. And if you don't win MVP as the guy that probably should, then you probably are going to win the Offensive Player of the Year. And he didn't win that either. Like, he was shut out in the two awards. But it was obviously a sticking point for the team. After every play, after every celebration, they're chanting MVP. And then he won the MVP of the championship game.
So it reminds me, years ago in the NBA, the year, and he deserved it, by the way, but David Robinson won the MVP, and he played Hakeem Olajuwon in the playoffs. And Hakeem got the better of the matchup, to put it kindly, on their way to a championship. And it was one of those, like, Charles Barkley won the MVP the year Jordan took it to him. I mean, that has happened before.
That's a last laugh situation, I think is what we call it. So we'll talk to Ta'amu at 5 o'clock today. We'll get into the Defenders Championship and how many people watched, how much interest there was in town, coming up in about an hour at 3. You mentioned the NBA Finals. Thunder back even. Somebody accidentally said this to me, and I thought it was hilarious. They said the Thunder lead the series 2-2. And it was a complete Freudian slip, but that's how it feels, right? I mean, everybody now thinks, since Oklahoma City got back even in this thing, that it's time for them to roll. Even when Indiana was up 2-0 in the series, as we talked about last week, in the finals, they have a 2-1 edge, and they were substantial underdogs. And outside of Indianapolis, you couldn't really find anybody who gave them a legitimate chance to win the thing. They were leading in the second half on the precipice of a 3-1 series lead, and you were still getting them at plus money to win the finals. Now it's 2-2 with the series going back to Oklahoma City for an 8:30 tip tonight. And it kind of feels like the Thunder lead a 2-2 series.
Yeah, this isn't how sports works, okay? There's no metric. There's never one of these trophies, because the Caps would have a million of them if this was the case. But there have been more minutes this series through 4 games where Oklahoma City's been the better team. And I don't think there's a question. You think back to game one, they were dominant for 43 of the 48 minutes. Should have won that game. Of course, they didn't. Indiana did. Surprised everybody. Okay, game number two, they were better wire to wire pretty much. Game three, a little bit more even. Game four, again, I thought they were the better team for the majority of the minutes. The advantage that Indiana's had is they never stop. They're relentless. They come at you in waves. They wear you down. Well, how about a 31-17 fourth quarter with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just sort of pacing them, kind of calmly going through the motions for the first few quarters, and then he did that little flip the switch kind of thing where he's like, you know who's the best player here? Me. Watch this.
Threw the boys on his back.
Yeah.
They're 9.5-point favorites tonight. Not very common.
It always seems too much to me, but yeah.
Last home game in Oklahoma City, they were 11-point favorites, and they covered. 9.5 feels like a lot, but you doubt them at your own peril. I mean, this is the team that has the best margin of victory all time. It was like a double-digit margin of victory this
season.
Almost
13 points, yeah.
So 9.5, which feels heavy, is still, I'm not betting the game, but I guess if I was, I would probably, at home, take Oklahoma City to roll, cover, and be up 3-2. You mentioned Stanley Cup Finals. We got a night off Florida's on the verge of going back-to-back. The Panthers are really good. I've been rooting for Edmonton because I just want the Oilers. Number one, it'd be cool for Canada to win one. It's been three decades. But I want Connor McDavid, the best player in the league, to win a championship. If you watch 5 minutes of playoff hockey and you see Connor McDavid skate around with his speed, he is what Ovechkin was like 5 years in, where you take a random person to a hockey game that's never been there, and you say, pick out the best player.
That guy's great, yep.
And they just point to Connor McDavid, 97. He did something the other night where I was watching, and I went, oh, my God. Like, knowing he's the best player, having seen him play for years, he did it, and I was like, what? You get that every single time you watch him. I want him to win a championship, but maybe not this time. Doesn't look good for them. They got to win two in a row against a Panthers team that's probably better than them. They're down 3-2. Game six is going to be tomorrow night at 8 East time. But that brings us to the Nationals. We don't often start the show with the Nationals. But when we do, something's either going very well or something's going very poorly.
It's that one.
It's not the well one. They have lost 8 straight games, and they are now 2-11 in the month of June. 2-11. They have fallen to 11 under 500. They're in trouble. Butts are warm over there. Seats are hot. I'm frankly surprised there wasn't some type of major change made this weekend. And that doesn't mean Davey Martinez getting fired. He's the biggest name in the manager. That's the one everybody talks about. But I would have thought you would have just kind of thrown a member of the staff to the Wolves, made some type of shift. The changes they decided to make after getting swept by the Marlins.
Their first sweep of the year, by the way. Congrats to the Marlins.
Who just got swept by the Rockies, who were in town for 4 games, thank God, tonight. Although you say thank God until they come out and beat you. But the Rockies are the worst team. I'm not exaggerating. Listen to what I'm about to say. They're the worst team through 71 games since 1899.
Worse than the White Sox last year, by the way, who looked like they were trying to set a record.
Not even close.
Yeah.
They're the worst team this deep into the season since 1899. So you get 4 games against them. So if you're going to make changes, now's the time to do it. If you're going to call a team meeting, now's the time to do it. If you're going to make a shift, now's the time to do it. And it's why I probably would have decided, if I'm Davey Martinez, which member of my staff is the least helpful. You're getting thrown to the Wolves right here and right now. But he decided not to. He's going to go down with the ship, and that's fine if he wants to do that. But I would not want to be him, and I would not want to be anybody on that coaching staff if they have a bad series against Colorado. And by the way, I'm talking about, you know, if you get swept by the Rockies, then I think it's utter destruction over there. Like, we won't be able to recognize anybody when the dust settles. I think if it's losing 3 out of 4, there will be some significant changes. If they split with the Rockies, now we're in a no man's land. But I would still think, at that point, you've probably got to do something maybe smaller than larger. But this needs to be 3 out of 4. A sweep would be exactly what the doctor ordered, and everyone would calm down for a little bit, and the temperature would lower. But they have to win 3 out of 4 in this series. They're calling up Brady House tonight to make his much-anticipated debut. That's exciting. That's fun. That's a bit of a distraction. It's also time. It's been time for a few weeks. So that's cool. But Danny, he joins a team that is falling apart.
Yeah.
The wheels are off the wagon right now.
And you look at some of the numbers, they're alarming. Their 2 wins this month are both 2-0 wins. The offense is broken. There's a 9-run outburst and a loss here of late, but it's very small numbers. It's like a lot of binary code, a lot of ones and zeros.
Other than that 9-run game, they are averaging under 2 runs this month per game.
So what I've been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of days. People now are reaching out to me, just, you know, friends I haven't talked to in a while, neighbors, you know, other parents or whatever, kids I used to coach, you know, who are fed up watching this team from afar. It lets you know that something's amiss. The fan base is restless and irritated and angry. And you get into this chair, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, I'm still a fan at heart. Right? Your fandom changes when you do what we do every day. Your fortunes are tied to the fortunes of these teams. And there are blissful moments. There's incredible moments. Parades. The Caps winning the Stanley Cup. The 12-5 season this year for the football group. The Nats winning the World Series in 2019, etc. There's still moments as when you're just a fan, though, and you're so angry. You're so pissed off. You're so let down. That what you need, frankly, as a fan, it's why fans shouldn't be in charge of this thing, but it's what you need as a fan is, show me you're upset too. I can't sit with this crap anymore. So when you're watching Ron Rivera not talk to the team at halftime, oh, here's a platitude, I'm wearing my feet are. Oh my God, shut up, it's so annoying. Like, you're sitting there livid when they're going 4-13 and he's got the same little catchphrase, the same little platitude, the same little cutesy folksy thing where he talks about the same crap for the millionth time over, and it rubs so thin. It rubs you raw. It's not fun. So the point that you just made, I think, is 100% right on. There are certain times, and you're sort of here right now, where you go, please show me the fan, the paying customer, the consumers watching on television, watching the advertising, going to the ball games, to consuming what you are putting out there, that you, A, see the same thing that I see, and B, recognize how unacceptable it is. We're in one of those moments. So you're right. I think this Brady House call-up, I don't think they were planning on doing it right now. That's not based on anything other than slightly strange timing.
Well, I've been checking in with people pretty constantly, and even before this homestand, so this is going back to when they'd been swept by the Mets, they're getting ready to come home and play Miami. And I did a big thing where I had 10 reasons why they should call him up. I thought the time was right going into the Miami series for a soft landing spot. And what I had heard when I was poking around was it sounded like start of July, which is their next homestand, which is when the Tigers were coming to town on July 1. And they were going to kind of wait till then to do it. Now, there's no such thing as a hard and fast as we've seen. Like, everything changes. If Jose Tena goes out and rolls his ankle, then he's up the next night. Mm-hmm. They've clearly decided to do it now, I think, for multiple reasons. Number one, it's not the worst thing in the world. As a distraction, when everybody is screaming and angry and livid and wants people to be fired, to say, hey, that prospect that you guys have heard about for years that everybody's excited to see is actually going to be up tonight. And I think we'd be naive if we didn't think that was part of this. I mean, Byron led his update today.
Yeah.
And he did his job correctly. I'm not joining on Byron. That's my guy. But Byron led his update with, big night at Nats Park, Brady House is debuting. That's what he should have done.
Right.
But instead of saying the Nats have lost 8 in a row and they're 2-11 this month and Davey Martinez is on the hottest seat that he's been on since he's been here in his 8th season as the manager, like, that is the lead. So that's part of why you do it. But it's not like they called up Luke Dickerson from Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Brady House has been ready for a few weeks.
It's a name people know.
Could have been up a month ago. And he'll struggle because he's got swing and miss and chase, and he's more hit for power than hit tool, and it's going to be a tough adjustment in the big leagues. But that was going to happen inevitably anyway. So no issue with the call-up, but to your point, people want something. They're like an angry dog, and you need to throw them some meat or something.
You throw them a bone.
And I think the Nats, at least in the case of yesterday, maybe Mike Rizzo felt like, all right, we're making some quote-unquote wholesale changes. Because they did make some roster moves. Jose Tena down, Brady House up. Robert Hassel has one walk in about 70 at-bats, and he looks like a big leaguer to me. He's going to help them, but you got to go refine your approach. You can't walk once out of every 70 mm-hmm. times at the plate.
Yeah.
So you bring up Dalen Lyle after a three-hit game, who's hitting 340 in AAA, and you rearrange that. To me, that's not quite enough. If you were just going to do the player thing, swapping guys in and out, remember Davey had that veiled threat. People don't get the message. We're going to make some changes. We're going to start platooning guys. That was like a week ago.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what he was referencing, but I would have gone further. Their catching position is the worst catching position statistically in baseball this year. K-Bert Ruiz has been bad, and Riley Adams has 5 hits on the season, more than you and I do combined. He's 0 for his last 30. Drew Millis is in AAA. You could have called him up. They didn't do that. So they could have done more than they did, but I think they felt like this is the message. I think fans at this point wanted them to go even further. And one of the reasons for that was Davey Martinez's comments after the game on Saturday. Saturday's loss was extra special. A lot of these losses have been painful and annoying. Saturday's was horrendous. I mean, that was infuriating. They played a bad Marlins team
mm-hmm.
that was trying to give them the game.
Everything they could do to get
the entire ninth inning. We're walking, guys. We're committing errors. We have misplays in the field. We're not getting the balls that are popped up in the outfield that we should get to. Like, one thing after another. You'd have to set the Marlins defensive inning to a reel that goes with, they're just trying to give the Nationals the game. And the Nationals said, nah, we're good.
Not for us, no.
They get a runner to third to tie the game. They pinch run their fastest player on the bench and maybe their fastest player on the team, Jacob Young. They get a fly ball to medium depth left field, and he's not sent home. Now, if you want to blame Jacob Young for not just going, you could do that. They have a third base coach whose job is to prepare players in that moment. I just think if I'm a pinch runner with wheels and the ball's hit into fairly deep left field, just medium depth left field, I got to try there. Now, James Wood is at the plate coming up, so maybe you don't want to take the bat out of his hands. But Gutierrez, their third base coach, who's had multiple guys thrown out this week, they don't send the runner. It was the second pretty egregious base running issue of that inning where they didn't score and then Woods out and they lose the game. And so after the game, Davey's going to be asked about that. And I'm not exaggerating. This is not a bit. I had two buddies text me. I was at a recital for Reagan doing some
dancing. She was dancing.
Dance stuff. Yeah, but it started 5 minutes after the game. Mm-hmm. So like before we walked in the lobby, I'm watching the game MLB.TV on my phone. And I get two texts from people going, I cannot wait to see what Davey says postgame. Davey's press conferences after the game are never relevant. They don't really matter. Like what he's going to say, he's going to say the same thing he said yesterday for the most part. It's not going to be a big deal. But that press conference was important because of the way they lost, the fact that it had been 7 in a row, the fact that you've lost a series to the Marlins now, and the fact that it seemed like there was a pretty big coaching blunder at the end of the game. So there was actual interest in what he was going to say. That's a really bad time to have your worst comment in 8 years as the manager of the team, which is what it was. He picked a really bad spot to put his foot in his mouth. This is what Davey Martinez said.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching? It's never on coaching.
Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches. Okay, they work hard. The message is clear. All the work is done prior. Sometimes you know they got to go out there and they got to play the game. You know, it's always been about the players. Always. You know, I played this game a long time. Never once have I blamed the coach for anything. I mean, we worked our asses off to get better. They gave us information, and we used it. These guys understand what the game is, man. These coaches, I never had such a group of coaches that worked as hard as they do. I mean, they're here freaking diligently. They go over everything. They sit players every day. These coaches, they work their asses off. So, and I know every coach's staff is like that. So, sometimes, and the players know. Sometimes, you got to put the onus on the players. They got to go out there and they got to play the game and play the game the right way. You know, we can't hit for them. We can't catch the balls for them. We can't pitch for them. We can't throw strikes for them. They got to do that.
Whew. Now, that was taken crazily as if Davey had thrown the players under the bus, understandably. So I got my thoughts on this. I want to hear from you first. Mm-hmm. What did you make of that comment?
Now, he was answering a direct question, okay, is like an either-or type question. There is a way to do that without basically saying there's two sides to this coin and it ain't one side. You do the math as to which side it is. I like David Martinez a lot personally. He's been great to us, very gracious. He's a good dude. There's no question that he has been the right guy for a long time and certainly was for that World Series run. I thought that was egregious. I thought that was as big a misstep. That was a window to me into how he feels, his frustration, right? Because he's doing the same positive Peter thing, going 1-0 today, bumpy roads lead to different places that you want to go to, et cetera. I guarantee you all those coaches are working hard. I'm sorry, that's not good enough, quite frankly. Working hard is the prerequisite. That everybody works hard. What are you producing? What's good? Are they still making the same mistakes? Is it still the same base running issues? Is it still the same you can't get through to a certain player because his approach stinks? Whatever it is, there's a way to do that and make your viewpoint known without running the players under the bus. He actually, to his credit, the next day, he went and said that he spoke to him, tried to translate what he meant, probably frustrated the moment, and guys got his back and everything seemed hunky-dory.
But the next day, he said, I wasn't talking about the players. That wasn't the point. I just said it wasn't the coaches. He says in there, it's always about the players.
100%.
And it was a binary question, yeah. Like, is this a coaching issue? And he said no. For me, look, it was obviously the wrong thing to say. It was a bad thing to say. It was a foot-in-mouth moment. It wasn't as bad as Ron Rivera not knowing that they could be eliminated. But it was like on a reel where you're putting his three or four worst comments at the podium. I don't even know what the others would be. Maybe someone who follows it closer.
Yeah, that was it to me.
This is the one, right? And I think he would admit that. Like, you're not meeting with players the next day if you didn't think you needed to. Mm-hmm. Supposedly Rizzo and some other guys were around in the clubhouse that normally aren't. They're doing some damage control there because it's something you feel like you got to fix. What I'm so shocked about by that comment, though, is it's the antithesis of what Davey has been. To my frustration for a long time, He has defended more terrible players. He has defended more players who have done terrible things than anybody in baseball over the last 6 or 7 years.
I mean, he always tells you how hard it is. He'll tell you this is the hardest league there is. It's tough.
He played in the big leagues. He's Mr. Defend the Players. So that's why I think people were so shocked by it, is because it's not anything like what he normally does. And herein lies, I guess, my big takeaway. I wrote a piece years ago for The Athletic about Davey Martinez, and then 2019 season. It was before they won the World Series, and basically the idea of the turnaround. And talking to a lot of players and a lot of coaches and a lot of people around their organization and people with him in Chicago and Tampa and some other places. And what they basically said is Davey Martinez will be successful for two reasons. One, he is always positive. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I roll my eyes at, just as a cynical fat person, is dead serious to him. Like when he's like 1-0 every day, and that is like literally, he's like the guy that has posters on his wall that I would be like, yeah, that's kind of cringeworthy. But like he is a positive person.
And it's not an act.
Not an act at all. It's real. That was not that, right? The other is he never changes. And this is so important with players, is that your manager, when the wolves are at the door and you hear them howling outside, which is happening right now, when the walls are caving in around you, his hand never shakes, right? He never panics. He's the same guy. You wouldn't know it. That's the compliment. That's what happened in 2019. Mm-hmm. That was not that moment. It got to him. You know, he said the thing that you shouldn't say in that moment. Now, everybody wanted him fired for the comment. I don't care about a comment. We're at a place, though, where changes absolutely get made for baseball teams when this is happening. Lest we forget, they kind of brought this on themselves a little bit.
Exactly
right. By pretending like they were ready to win. You and I came back from spring training. We talked about it on IR a bunch. We kept saying, why are they talking about this like they're contending for the wild card, like they're over 500? I didn't buy it. I'm an actions over words guy, okay? I think there are plenty of fans that said, this is not a playoff team. It's the same as when Mike Shanahan says at the podium, I stake my reputation on John Beck. There are still people who hold that against him. He's just saying words. His actions were not that. They didn't start him, by the way. Rex Grossman started. They played him for like 2 games, right? It's the same as when, like, you see this all the time. He's our quarterback. You trade for a quarterback a week later. Adam Peters came on and told us how good
Emmanuel Forbes
was going to be. This is the gig to some extent. I just think it was an unforced error by them to say we're ready to win and put that pressure out there. I talk to Ryan about this all the time, who does his pod, and he talks to way more fans and is way more engaged with Nats Twitter and stuff than I am. And that is a rallying cry, and something you hear is like, they told us they'd be better. Mm-hmm. I think that was the mistake here. But this is when changes get made. I would not want to be them if this Rocky series does not get better. And if you're asking me, is Davey Martinez on the hot seat? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
If you're asking me if Jobs should be on the line over there, the answer is yes. Now, I always make everyone angry because I'm one of those, if I was an owner, I would almost never fire anybody in season because I don't think it helps. I really don't. Unless there's something egregious going on. Would I fire Davey Martinez? Probably not. I would make major changes, though, in terms of the staff. If this series goes badly, I might have already made two, mm-hmm. you know, something. But like, if this goes badly, I would do something. How can you not? You told us you're supposed to win. You're the 2-11 this month. And it's not pretty, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there are times where you have to acknowledge, again, the mob shouldn't rule when you're talking about the long-term view and you have to be the adult in the room. But every once in a while, and this isn't all the time, but something is bad enough where you go, I have to let everyone know that I see it too, and it's not acceptable.
You don't think they did that with some like the mini roster stuff?
No, and that's not that.
I tend to agree.
For fans, and it's not fair, but it's like, it's a Darnell Coles thing, for example, where, now here's the deal, I'm not calling for someone's job, I'm going to have no idea if he's a good hitting coach or not, but that's not a job you get for job security. You know what I mean? This isn't like a tenured professor gig. If you're a major league hitting coach, you're going to be on the hot seat every time a guy goes 0-2. You know what I mean? Like, that's the deal. I would do something over there. I'd say we have to do something besides swap a couple AAA Timmies for other AAA Timmies. Yeah, it's fun to have Brady House come up, but that ain't it. And that's interesting. I'm intrigued by that. I want to see him play. But this is a whole other level here.
Let's open the phones on this at 800-636-1067 for you guys. Number one, how hot should the seat be right now for Davey Martinez and members of this staff? 800-636-1067. And just taking your temperature, what do you make of this stretch with the Nats losing 11 of 13 this month, 8 in a row overall, when they were 3 games from 500 and they were right in the mix in the wild card convo before this started? It probably wasn't as good as it felt then. I know it's probably not as bad as it feels right now. But the reality is, they said at the start of the season, it's about wins and losses now, and it is time to turn the corner. And if they've turned a corner here recently, it's the wrong one. They're going off track like the little rascals.
Yeah, I've turned that corner.
Because the sign got spun. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Two balls, two strikes. The lead at first for Tana, held by Wagaman. Tarnock delivers and calls, swings, chops it back to the pitcher. Throw to second, wide, but held. Throw to first. Double play, and the game's over. The throw almost too wide, held by Edwards, the second baseman. They get a 1-4-3 double play. The game and the series over. The Marlins win all three here in Washington.
You can get swept by the Mets. You can't get swept by the Marlins.
That's their first sweep this year. That's their first one.
They're one game back of the Nats now, by the way.
Hey.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. The wheels are off the wagon. Nats have lost 8 in a row, and they are 2 for the month of June as we play on here on June 16th. Brady House gets the call to make his debut tonight. We'll talk to Josh Wetzel, who's the play-by-play voice of the Rochester Red Wings, coming up in our Beltway Blitz. Mark Zuckerman of Masson Sports joins us at 6 o'clock to discuss the state of the Nats tonight as well. But right now, we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067 on Davey Martinez in the hot seat and what they should do if changes need to be made on the staff. You know, I guess point blank, Danny, I wouldn't fire Davey, but again, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I don't really fire coaches in season almost ever. It would have to get, you know, we'd have to be fast forward 2-3 weeks and they're like two for the next stretch. And maybe then I go, this is just embarrassing and I've got to do something. I don't think we're quite there yet, but just because I never feel like you're almost there. But that is different than I wouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have a different third base coach probably today. I'm not even saying it's his fault, but if they made a hitting coach change, it would totally be understandable. It's just like pulling a goalie. You got to figure something out.
Got to do something.
You created this issue, but what about you? Where are you at on making a change?
Yeah, I think I would have made a change over the weekend, too. I don't think it's the Davey level, but I would have said, hey, we need some sort of acknowledgement. And you don't, again, you don't become one of these coaches in Major League Baseball without the understanding, direct understanding. This is not a job security profession. This is not one of those.
Results?
It's not a tenure for life thing just because you teach sociology. You're probably out. I would have changed Darnell Coles, and I probably would have changed the third base coach as well.
It's never about coaching. Was just a bad comment.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's just the wrong comment to make. That means coaching's
irrelevant. So no coach had ever been fired?
Right.
Ever?
Well, it means coaching's irrelevant, and it just means, okay, then swap everybody in and out. What's the difference, right? It's just not true. Some coaches are better than others, like a third baseman or a starting pitcher or a chef in a restaurant or a cop. That's how jobs work, right? Somebody is good and somebody is bad, and your job's to figure out who's who. My biggest frustration, though, it's not one comment. It's not the losing streak, although that's been awful. My biggest frustration still is a 10,000-foot view thing. They're basically in the same spot. They'll win 7 here. They'll lose 7 there. But they're in the same spot for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
With their prospects having graduated, Brady House is the last of the guys coming. That's really the big-ticket items from the minor leagues in terms of the bats. And they've done nothing to supplement those guys with money and veterans. Inexcusable. That's the frustration. But coming into the year, they're a 75-ish, you know, 74 to 79 win team from a talent standpoint. And they're going to finish probably in that pocket, I would say. So I kind of sit here and I watch and I go, the fast food place is serving me fast food. My expectations are mostly being met based on the roster. I'm paying $14 at a drive-thru for a burger and fries, and I'm getting a $14 meal that occasionally they're screwing up. That's what happens when you pay $14 mm-hmm. for your meal. They shouldn't win the East with this roster. They shouldn't make the wild card with this roster. That having been said, and I think this is where fans are really livid, this stretch is not okay. Like, it's one thing to kind of be middling, and for most of the year they were. They were 5-6 under 500 or 4 under 500.
There's a bunch of teams in that window,
right,
yeah.
But you're mostly playing over 500 baseball since week one, and James Wood's shining, and C.J. Abrams has been good, and Mackenzie Gore's a dude. And so people were pretty okay with it for the most part. This last 2 weeks, you can't do the we're ready thing and then do that and not expect people to be really, really upset. Coming at the heels of 5 years of waiting. That's a long time.
Yes, it is.
I mean, 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 25. And 2020 sucked as well. I just give you a pass on that because of the pandemic, and you actually had a good roster.
I do too.
That was worth going to see. We couldn't go to the ballpark, but this is five seasons in a row of fans being at the park watching a bad product. And at some point, they're going to start to turn. And it's definitely happening.
I think the turning's happening now.
Especially when the offseason came and went, when you were supposed to do something. And I don't think that's a, you know, a Davey problem or even maybe a Rizzo problem. It's bigger than that, but it is where we are right now. And oh, by the way, prices aren't going down. You want to go to the game?
Yeah.
Still expensive. You're just seeing the fifth year of whatever this is. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, buddy?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Good.
You know, with all the craziness that's going on in the world, I always enjoyed, you know, escaping into sports. But with the Nationals being so bad, I can't even do that. So it's been pretty brutal the last couple of weeks. The comment that Davey made, I don't think he should have made it. I think he should have said that privately if he hasn't already. I don't care about, honestly, what Davey says. What I care about is what this repeated pattern of play, which has to be a product of instruction. You know, constantly having base runners either make the wrong decision or get thrown out on the base pass and games that are decided by one runner less. Another thing, too, is we talk about the plate approach all the time. There are so many batters up and down the lineup right now who are averaging below league average in terms of pitches seen per plate appearance, which is essentially a measure of plate discipline. For context, in 2019, including all players who had significant playing time, there are almost nine guys who saw close to four pitches per plate appearance. Right now, we've got three in the entire lineup who are even close to four pitches per, or more per plate appearance. And there's just too many empty at-bats that come up short. Weak ground outs, lazy fly balls.
And the quality of the pitches they're swinging at, too, Chris.
I think that's the essential part. So
it's been a story since spring training when they had played their little game that Alex Call won, where they were like, you have to swing at the strikes and take the balls, and they got value based on all that, which was a cool idea. It was instructive, and I think that's good coaching. But the point is, watch a big spot. K-Bear Ruiz rolling over against the Mets on a pitch that he can't do anything with.
So it's good data from Chris. The point of that, though, that's twofold to me. Number one, it's you can pitch to these guys. There's a lot of dudes in that lineup where you don't have to be careful. You don't have to worry about anybody besides C.J. Abrams when he's going good and James Wood. Everybody else, challenge Josh Bell all day. Have a great time. Throw strike one. Your bats can be over real quick when you're behind 0-2, right? When there's no danger, when there's no threat. Now, the other part is the plate discipline part. So it's twofold for me, right? Where you have to pitch James Wood carefully, and guys do. He'll see more than the average bear in terms of pitches per AB, right? But other guys, it's sort of like, oh, well, here we go. Let me get my three swings off and see what happens. There's no adjustment there, and it's infuriating.
Well, they have two of the lowest 10 players in OPS this season, in Bell and K-Bert Ruiz.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a pitcher, just attack them, to your point. Chad Potomac, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny.
Buddy.
I saw you guys, I think it was early this year or last year, at North Bethesda at that bar. You guys were great.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Thanks, bro.
Shout out to Darius as well. Love him as well. But, yeah, man, I just honestly think that Davey's kind of checked out in a bit. I love him to death, and I respect him. Thank you so much for what he's done. But at this point, it's more like I'm getting the sense that he's not fully in it. I think somebody took a stat the other day that he hasn't even come out to protest a call all year, or I don't even know since when, or he doesn't get thrown out. I'm not really seeing a lot of passion. And I'm just wondering if it wasn't for, you know, some really clutch hits for us to get that World Series, would we have kept him this long? So that's pretty much my question.
Well,
so,
no, probably not, but it's a pretty big deal to win a World Series.
It is.
I would say that's part of, yeah, you're right, that's part of why he's still around. I mean, when a guy goes all the way, wins the championship, that's a pretty elite club. He does get a little bit more margin for error. This season, he has zero ejections. He had only two Each year over the last 3 years, he had three back in 2021. He actually had four the year they won the World Series, which is interesting. But you know, he's only had one season, the pandemic year. There was only 60 games where he didn't get ejected. I'm a little surprised he has zero. He has come out to argue. But, you know, again, we're talking about normally he has two ejections. You're at nearly the halfway point. He's right on pace for
And also, lots been taken off the manager's plate. You can bark about balls and strikes and get run that way. But, like, safe for out, we got replay now.
What do you guys think about this Rocky series, though? I want to get into that next to finish up the hour here. 800-636-1067. If the Rocky series against the worst team through 71 games since the 1800s goes badly for the Nationals, what happens after Game 4? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Taking your temperature on the Nats, who are 2-11 in June and losers of 8 in a row. Thank God the Rockies are in town. They got to get right. No better prescription than walking up to the counter and asking for them to hand over CVS receipts and a Rockies four-game series. And so that's what the
it's
Nats...
It's your softest target you can find.
if you can't get right now, you ain't getting right. Let's go to Brendan in Salt Lake, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Grant, I've been waiting since I was listening to Bustin' Loose Baseball on Sunday night to hear you guys say or to call in and say that when Davey says that it's never a matter of coaching, it means he doesn't believe that he can impact winning or losing in either direction. And I feel badly for him, you know, but at that point, what's the point? So I think that that these moves with the call-ups coming up, with especially with House, it almost feels like a little bit of internal discord between Davey and between Rizzo, where he's saying, fine, if you feel like you can't coach these players, coach these guys and show me what happens. But I'm expecting wins. I'm expecting results. And it does feel like you're right. I think this is a crucible series against the Rockies. And if they don't get wins, I think it's going to be a problem. I'm with you guys. I wouldn't make the change at this point, but I would make a change. I would have made a change probably last night after the game against the Marlins, maybe even Saturday night after Davey said what he said. But this feels like it's kind of brewing in a bad direction, and I feel badly because I love Davey, the 2019 Nats.
Yeah, rightfully so. Totally.
19 was a long time ago, though. But I mean, look, Davey's a good dude. I'm not saying I don't love him. But, I mean, respectfully to him, what happened in 19 is borderline irrelevant for me now.
Well, also, being a great dude isn't the prerequisite for being a Major League Baseball manager.
Sure.
You could be a hard ass, you could be a player's coach, you could be everything in between. It's the effectiveness is what matters. But I wonder, could you not make a change now after you said what you said on Saturday? It's almost like you dug your trench and then you went and sat in it, and if you were there for only 24 hours, well, didn't you just tell us it wasn't on coaching?
I think you can, because it just... At that point, it's either, you know, someone comes to you and goes, you or somebody, you know, who's it going to be, right? The empathy I have, it sounds like he has empathy for Davey based on maybe the past and what he brought to the org, and I totally get that. Mine is not really related to that at all. It is, I don't think he's managing a team that should be that much better than the current record. Currently now, after this losing streak at 30-41, 11 under, they're probably like -5 from where I'd like them to be.
Yeah, to me, they should be 33-38.
Right, so that's three games off.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe a little better than that. I'll say 34 or 35 wins. Like, that's where my empathy comes from. It's an interesting question as to, you know, who is he frustrated with if Davey's annoyed with somebody? He says maybe there's some bristling between him and Rizzo. Those guys are always pretty much in lockstep,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe they're at odds, you know, and I don't mean in a serious way, but like currently over the roster. I take it when he says something like that, it's him and Rizzo against the upper, right? Like,
right.
Hey, we told you, we needed a starting pitcher, man. Help us out here. We're in the trenches. We're in the foxhole. We're just asking for some ammunition to win this thing. We can't advance any further into their territory if you're not giving us the thing to shoot at them. And I think they're sitting there in the foxhole getting yelled at, like, you're losing, you're losing, you're losing. And they're going, I've got a knife, and that guy's got a bazooka.
Yeah, and Josh Bell's getting 600 at-bats, dude. We can't compete.
The problem with that is you were fighting this time on a battlefield with a team that probably had a smaller knife, and they somehow beat you. Like, that's the one you can't abide. Let's go to Carlos in Alexandria. How are you?
Hey, good topic, guys. I'm sure Colorado's coming in really fired up, too, which is going to make this a more
difficult
series.
They're playing better. They're frisky. They lose a lot, but they're competing now.
Yeah, they're competing.
Well, and they think they can win all four of these games. You know, I mean, not all four, but I mean, every game they go into, they think they can win. But I want to make a point here between the 2019 Nats and the 2025 Nats. The team that Davey inherited was a team on the ascension, and it was all veterans. And we were at a game the other night where Robert Hassel Jr., threw to the wrong base on a you know, he's trying to show off his arm from center field, throwing it, you know, over the catcher's head, and so the runner advances. And I'm thinking, I don't think I remember a time in the second half of that year, 2019, where an outfielder threw to the wrong base. Which goes to my point. Davey is a great inspirational leader. He's a good guy to manage a team of veterans that know how to play the game. He is not good at teaching, and one of the good examples of that is Luis Garcia Jr., who I think they should trade because he clearly needs a change of attitude. He's making the same mistakes he was making 3 years ago, and if that's not teaching, then this is an incorrigible player that's not going to be able to be taught.
Thanks, buddy. I promise you Victor Robles that year threw to some bases that weren't the right base because there's nobody who
Did Victor Robles play baseball that year?
Yes.
Then he did.
I mean, nobody did more dumb stuff in Nats history than him, just generally speaking. That's number one. Number two, they had veterans, right? When you have Adam Eaton and Jason Wirth, maybe not that year, but you know, you look at like that outfield, when Howie Kendrick and Kurt Suzuki and Gerardo Parra and Ryan Zimmerman and Asdrubal Cabrera, these guys have been playing forever. Mm-hmm. You're going to see less of those mistakes.
Yeah.
When it's Robert Hassel in his 12th game and Dalen Lyle in his 9th game and you know Jacob Young in his second full season as a center fielder, there are going to be mistakes made. That's part of it. I mean, you guys have had to sit through that for longer than you should, but I would just add that to the point, which I think is a pretty good one. We'll come back to this, though. I mean, this is one of the bigger topics in town today. Again, you lose 3 out of 4 to the Rockies somehow in this four-game series, and I would not want to be over at Nats Park when that series wraps up and the players walk off the field.
That's right.
Grant and Danny, let's get to the mayor's comments about the Commanders being upset with the city council on the stadium movement or lack thereof next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.